Hour number two of D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Adam Vingan out today, starting his holiday a little bit early. Connor Newt, Derek Mason, Willie Donick in with you on your drive home today. We usually do this on Wednesdays, but since we are off the rest of the week, let's go ahead and bring in our good friend Jonathan Hutton of Outkick to have a little conversation with us about college and the NFL in the world of football. Jonathan, what's going on?
Hi, what's going on, guys? Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Yes, you
Merry
too.
Merry Christmas.
Let's start with the Titans, actually. The Titans, right, to me, are weighing two options right here. Either you continue to lose, and I realize this is more of a front office standpoint than a player and coach standpoint.
Yeah.
Either you continue to lose, protect your draft capital, and fold it for next season, or you see what you have out there, continue to develop your young quarterback who you drafted at number one overall, and do your best to compete. I think there's a world where you can do both at the same time. But if we're looking at the extreme ends of the spectrum, what do you think you would do if you were in charge of making this decision for the Titans?
I mean, I would want the number one pick.
Right.
I would want the number one pick. And, with the ability to control the narrative of the draft and the price tag of what that pick will represent. I mean, there's no guarantee where the Titans will be selecting that the quarterback's there. There's a quarterback draft, and then there's the regular NFL draft. Mm-hmm. Right now, I would presume the Titans are probably staring down an elite player, which is not a bad spot for them because they need plenty of them. But that's the point. They need plenty of those players, not just one addition to turn the corner. But ultimately, I don't want to ever see a team tank, right? I'm not for that. So, the roster, the locker room, the coaching staff, everyone should be professional about this than they have been. But if we're really talking about, like, steps forward, you got to pair this current rookie class with another one that's going to be impactful within the first 100 picks. You know, I don't know how the win impacts the future of the team. Maybe for a week, but not next season. The majority of these players aren't going to be back, and there's not proof of concept when we don't even know who the coaching staff is going to be represented by with the head coach. So, I mean, we do know, though, that the young players – I think this is the positive. We do know that the young players on this team who will be on this team next year are mentally tough and focused on winning. That's a good sign.
Yeah, it is indeed. And you mentioned coaching. Obviously, we don't know who the next guy is going to be, but is there a guy out there you think would fit the mold of developing a young quarterback in Cam Ward?
I think there are plenty of them. The question is pairing when you say young quarterback, I know you mentioned Ward specifically. That's the key, is pairing him with the right coordinator. I don't know if there are more than a handful of true, and Mace, way on this, mm-hmm, more than a handful of offensive-minded coaches who can just, like, plug and play like we saw in Chicago this year. You know, like, and that's the talent of Caleb Williams. But by the way, Caleb Williams and Cam Ward are selected in the same pick. So, you know, that's the standard here that we're talking about, pairing a true number one coach with a number one quarterback. That's the number one overall pick. They have to get this right. And if they go the interesting part of this is all the defensive coordinator names that are being thrown out there. Most of the time, I mean, you have a spot where young head coaches for the first time head coaches, don't really have the staff background put together. You know, like Vrabel was waiting on Ryan Day, and then he ends up staying at Ohio State. He's like the coach in waiting or whatever. And so John Robinson ends up going, with one of his previous interviews, you know, because Vrabel didn't have anyone to turn to at that time. It's interesting to see if they go young defensive coordinator hire to the head coach, who that offensive coordinator is going to be paired with the head coach. That's crucial. And a lot of times, I mean, it's not like the young coaches come in with a huge list of assistants. It burned Callahan. He hired a lot of his friends.
Now, look, at the beginning of the season, we, talked about a few guys that needed to take a step on this team. Obviously, yeah. JC was one of those guys because he was moving from left to right. Peter, and we're talking about young guys. But more importantly, I thought, based on, you know, the weapons that, that Cam was going to have for the season, I thought Chig was a guy that needed to take another step, and then Tajay was a guy that needed to take another step as well. Yes. I think both of those guys have taken a step to prove that at least, you know, they should be thought of heavily. Now, I know Tajay Spears got another year under under his rookie deal, but Chig will be a free agent. Has he done enough for the Titans to think this offseason, hey, we need to bring him back? Not as the number one, because I think ultimately Gunnar Helm is going to be that guy.
I do too.
But bringing back Chig Okonkwo, a guy he seems to be comfortable with. And we talked to TD yesterday, and Chig may be the best guy after the catch on the Titans.
That's a great, perspective there. But like, I'm always wanting more from him, and it's not all on him.
Yes.
It's not all on him. Like you say, is he worth bringing back? If I'm him, I'm thinking, is it worth me staying if they're not going to focus on getting me the ball more? Because I think it's a great point by TD. Look, I think there's an absolute role for him. I would say if I'm him, I'm waiting to find out the staff, you know, and I'm is it going to be 12 personnel? Like, is it going to be run based? Is it going to be, you know, we'll see. That benefits him more if it is that, you know. And Tajay Spears, by the way, I mean, he provides another explosive, athletic chain mover, right? The NFL is a two-back league, and this offense really missed his skill set early in the season. And Sunday was the first time he had had both 50 yards receiving and rushing in the same game. And the impact was seen on that long touchdown drive, what, 72, 73 yards on that 90-yard drive. And then, you know, paired with Pollard, who hasn't been, it wasn't used much early in the season. They were lopsided scores and other things, and mindset, mentality of who's calling plays. Now he's, you know, he's got fresh legs. You know, he's got three straight games with over 100 yards. That production in the backfield, I think, is proof of concept that it's helping Cam Ward, who's not having to throw the ball nearly as much. You know, like, he was averaging, Mace, like 35 pass attempts a game through the like first half of the season. Since like week 12, I think he's, you know, or I know over the last 3 weeks specifically, all of those games have been under 30 attempts, which is great for a rookie quarterback. They were putting him in a bad spot to begin with kind of the philosophy of pass that didn't set up the run.
Yeah, so if looking at Cam and looking at this offense, and listen, they haven't won many games. I think it's been two since the bye. They got both of their wins. But they've looked at times like an NFL offense, so to speak, at least, especially the last couple of weeks. So do you see, at least after the half, after the bye week, do you see some development in there, in Cam, as well as the offense, to make you think, okay, if we add more pieces, it may not happen automatically like it did for New England or Chicago, but we will put ourselves in a better space than we were the year prior?
Yeah, I mean, it's worth bringing up for New England because Drake May took a huge step forward, huge, you know, but also coordinator. They pair him with Josh McDaniels. Look, I thought the way the entire team played this past game is what everyone wants to see more of. You know, it emphasizes that true improvements are being made. And for Cam Ward specifically, this was encouraging. I mean, he put up the start-to-finish performance I've been looking for. You know, it provides room for optimism over cynicism, and it provides room for him to authentically claim more of a leadership role of the team. And I say that authentically instead of just it being handed a C, right? Like, he's playing his best football of the season without question, and winning the game allows for everyone to see progress instead of like week to week struggles that it has been for him throughout his rookie season. But, you know, he's 15 games in now. He's played a full college season now. And it's great to see some signs of life from a quarterback who, like, truly he needed results to pair with his work ethic that he brings every day to the facility. He's extremely talented. The intangible qualities that you want in your franchise quarterback are there with him. So now pair him with the right coach and coordinator and let Borgonzi run the show to improve the roster around their quarterback. But as for Ward, he's beginning to find his footing a bit, I think. And that provides the Titans with an opportunity to win, I believe, back-to-back games for the first time since like November of 2022. It's been a while. So yeah, I think there are signs of improvement, Mace. But what I think it's good for the rookie class and the foundation that they have started or tried to start. I credit the players, really. I'm hearing a lot. And look, interim coach, it's not an easy job. But this team, I think the leadership example of Jeffrey Simmons was huge here.
We talk with Jonathan Hutton, Outkick. Now, what do you make of the defense? How do you think? Because listen, Denard Wilson, he's totally behind the eight ball right now. With the injuries that they've had over the last couple of weeks, they lost another guy, Harris, their starting nickel, this past weekend. So now he's basically playing with guys that, frankly, were not going to play at all or much this season. But how do you think he's doing as a coordinator? And should he get a real serious look at one of the guys that they potentially, encourage the new coach to bring back? Because I think one of those guys is going to be Bones Fossil. If you don't bring him back, something's wrong with you. But you look at Denard and what he's sort of been able to do with patchwork defense, especially the secondary.
Man, I what they've tried to do, because again, like it's the numbers are going to be the numbers, right? Mm-hmm. The players, though, are not going to be listed next to those numbers when it's all said and done. Yeah, I think he's done a nice job giving the situation. Like the defense was doing their fair share of providing an opportunity to win football games this season. For the majority of the stretch where the offense couldn't put up or muster, 13 points a game. That's a very, very low bar for the offense to try to muster whenever the defense is just trying to keep their opponent to less than 13. I mean, that's not NFL quality, right? That paired with all the injuries and different things that have happened. Yeah, I think given the circumstance, it's, at worst, it's just an incomplete given the situation. At best, he's done a nice job to get another opportunity to be a DC. And whenever they hired him, he was Denard was going through the league process of, how they pre-vet coaches with the league office. He was doing that because he was going to be a part of the cycle that would get some interviews for head coach at the time. Last year was last year. Results are results, and he deserves a real shot with a healthier roster for sure.
Talking to Jonathan Hutton, you mentioned Pollard. Like 3 weeks ago, I would have said 100%
washed up.
He's not back with the Titans, and he'll be one of those backs that is at a certain age that has trouble finding a place to land. Now it seems completely different. We know the Titans have almost money to burn. They've got so much money that they have the luxury of bringing some guys back who aren't great players, but if you want to keep some continuity, would you consider Pollard at all, just keeping him around?
Yes, on the right deal, yes. But I look at the money. So, Willie, I think they have to be very intentional with how they go about their free agency here, just because they have a bunch of money. I mean, Rand was spending money on practically every player, and every player was overpaid. I think they need to go in with the focus and mindset of identifying where they're going to find some hits. You're not going to hit home runs in free agency, but you can find a base hit with Tony Pollard. You can also, there are no home runs, but there are plenty of strikeouts, and the Titans have had those. So, I view this as, at that position, I'm not going to invest a ton of money. I'm going young. That's one of my draft picks is what I'm saying. And I view the wide receiver the same way. Same as pass rusher. I mean, they need a lot. I know they need a lot in the offseason, and they can't do it all in one offseason now. We've heard that a lot. But that's because of what they've addressed in free agency or haven't addressed. Running back? No, I mean, I on the right price, Willie, I'm bringing him back. But again, I don't know why they didn't lean more on the run to help the rookie quarterback, but part of it was just separation of score, right, on the scoreboard. They're throwing the football. But, Brian Callahan wasn't really trying to establish the run at all. And I think that's credit to the interim staff to give him more opportunities in the backfield now because it's impacted the overall play of the offensive line. It helps pass protection because you're not in third and longs. And they've been able to establish a run recently. The O-line's a part of this too, but Pollard's been leading the way. He's a true pro. I like his approach week in and week out. He's a lunch pill type guy. Tajay Spears is more of the vocal guy. Pollard is lead by example, and I think he does a great job of that.
All right, I'm giving you two guys. You have a choice, one or the other, or you can say punt both of them.
Okay.
Who would you rather have back, Chig or Cushenberry? To me, those are two other guys that they could make a decision on one way or the other. They have other guys, right, that they could use, but again, in the name of continuity.
In the name of continuity, I'm leaning Cushenberry. Only because of the offensive line that has been addressed so much in recent off seasons, right? But as far as availability goes, Chig. So, you know, I'm leaning offensive line just to try to find some continuity because they haven't had that. But Willie, the upside for Chig Okonkwo is still there. And again, I just got through saying like they haven't done well in free agency. They're going to go address center somewhere else. But it's one big, big position that they would leave open that they just spent big money on. I would have to give that another run if you had one or the other.
The devil you know kind of thing. Like I'm curious where they go with some of those guys, right?
Yeah, okay, I mean, just be adequate, right? Just like they're doing okay. And again, like the veteran center with a young quarterback, I like that.
All right, one SEC snob question. How much is on the line here? If we know Ole Miss and Georgia, somebody's going down. Alabama's got a really tough draw on the other side of the bracket.
Yeah.
If they're going to make it, they'd be lucky to survive one more week. If they beat Indiana, that'd be huge, but they'd still have to win another game. There's a chance that the SEC doesn't even have a team in the final here. So what about the reputation?
It's – the chants from outside the conference will be louder than ever about the presence of the Big Ten at the top, the top-heavy Big Ten. But the top-heavy Big Ten is adding more pieces to that group, to that tier now with Indiana. And I would point to, you know, they went three teams in for the Big Ten this year. SEC got three in last year. Yeah, I mean, it's been – you want to take the small amount of teams that the Big Ten's going to put in, or the group of five, or however, five teams that they got in this year for the SEC. I would take the Big Ten going into this playoff. I mean, and I know that, you know, we're going to see some. It's really Georgia or Ole Miss against Indiana potentially, unless Alabama pulls an upset, which I don't see happening. But the reputation is that. I mean, they would be three straight championships for the Big Ten, and it would be potentially three straight championship games without an SEC representative playing for the title, which is also unheard of.
Talking to Jonathan Hutton of Outkick. Hutton, as we let you go, I got one more question for you. I just asked these guys this question. I asked Trevor Manich earlier. When it comes to the group of five representatives in the college football playoff, do you feel it's still a deserved position, knowing what we know and knowing what we've seen the past 2 years from that representative? Or do you feel they should, you know, do their own thing, maybe make their own group of five college football playoff?
I would love the group of five college football playoff. And, there's reports out that, 18 months ago now, Big Ten and the SEC flexed and said, we'll just do our own thing if you guys don't vote our way. But, you know, the political game of this changes now. Because the SEC and the Big Ten will run the college football playoff. They already do, but the decision factors are just them. In the past, the group of five have been used as chess pieces to get votes on your side because the college football playoff management team or whatever they call themselves, there's 11 representatives there, one from each conference, and that's either a president, a chancellor, or an AD. And you've got this year on that board, you've got, Tulane's represented, I believe. You've got random teams, let's just put it that way. And not football people, but business-minded people from these group of five. So you get more votes on your side to expand from 4 to 12, to expand from 12 to 14. That's how they're going about this, and they use it as leverage against teams like Notre Dame, who hold the same amount of voting power currently. But moving forward, yeah, they could be voted out. And let's be honest here, too. ESPN's going to make this decision. They own the playoff. And if they don't like the return on investment, because they're outsourcing these games now. They sold these two games to TNT and Turner. If they're not going to get the big payday to air these games and sell them, chances are they'll get rid of those matchups and get rid of the blowouts. But the blowouts have happened a lot. You know, like, it's just not expected, is how I would term it. And the when we had the 14 playoff, we had a lot of blowouts. But we didn't go into the game thinking it was going to be unwatchable by halftime. And I did with both of these matchups this year.
He's Jonathan Hutton of OutKick joining the program every Wednesday. We obviously moved it up a day as we're out the rest of the week. Hutton, Merry Christmas to you. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you very soon.
Merry Christmas, guys. And look forward to chatting with you next week.
Absolutely.
Will do. Jonathan Hutton of OutKick joining the program. He joins every Wednesday here on DVD. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get involved in the conversation. Coming up next, you both asked questions that piqued my interest, and I want to address those on the other side right here on D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, DVD here on 102.5 The Game.